Samuel MacDonald was a frontiersman living in the wilderness of Maine in the early 19th century. Actually, home was a small community called Standish, a few miles outside of Portland. But every summer, he headed north about 100 miles to a lake on the border of what is now New Hampshire to work with others there. We don't know exactly what his work entailed. He might very well have been a trapper, which was a lucrative but challenging occupation back then. The forests of Maine were certainly rich in the sorts of animals that were trapped and hunted for their fur. Or perhaps he worked in the lumber industry, felling trees to be used as timber in the more populated southern parts of New England. Whatever the work was, it took him north in 1815. He left behind his wife and two grown sons and made the same journey he had year after year until he reached the lake where all the other seasonal workers had gathered. At some point in his time there, however, Samuel took sick, and he wasn't getting better. The trouble with frontier life was that sometimes there was no one to take care of you if you became sick or injured. Everything had the potential to be deadly in those circumstances, even a broken foot or a simple infection. Throw in the comparatively primitive medical knowledge of the early 1800s, and you have a recipe for disaster. One evening after work, Samuel laid himself down in front of his fire to rest and recover. He was sick and tired, literally, and probably hoped a good night of sleep would do him well. But he never woke up. It wasn't until the next day that a couple of other woodsmen passing by noticed his body laid out there beside the remnants of a campfire that anyone ever knew what had happened to him. Word was sent to tell Samuel's family the news. It said that his two adult sons made the journey of 100 miles in just one day, but that would have been an extraordinary pace if it were true. They traveled quickly, though, that's for sure, and soon enough arrived at the campsite where some friends had brought Samuel's body inside to keep it safe. But there was a problem. Winter was coming. Knowing the journey back south with their father's body would take them too long, the two sons purchased a cheap wooden box and buried Samuel there in the wilderness of Maine. Then they settled in for the winter and waited. When spring arrived, they took upon themselves the grim task of disinterring their father so they could transport him home for a proper burial. The two brothers made quick work, uncovering the wooden box they'd buried in a shallow grave. When it was exposed, they lifted it out and onto their wagon. But they couldn't resist just one more look at the man who had raised them. Prying off the lid of the coffin, the brothers looked inside, and then stopped as horror flooded over them. Even though Samuel had been buried on his back, the body was now face down. More disturbing, though, was his face. The dead man's lips were raw and covered in dry blood, and splinters of wood could be seen in his gums and tongue. Their father's hands told the same terrible story. The fingertips were torn and bloody, and many of the fingernails were missing entirely, torn off in an attempt to escape. There was no question about what had happened. And that was what frightened them the most, because it put the blame squarely on them. Samuel MacDonald had not died that early winter day as his friends had assumed. He had simply fallen into a deep sleep, perhaps even a coma. Unable to tell the difference, though, everyone assumed the worst. When Samuel's sons arrived, they did what made sense. They buried their father. And in doing so, they did the very thing they never thought possible. They killed him.